Monroe Public School Board of Education.
It's a department meeting.
Next page. Anyway, we're going to call some kind of meeting order. We're going to call our workshop to order. Today is August 22nd, 2023, and the time is 5:30 PM. Jamie, could we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Here.
Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Van Wachanova.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Could we stand for the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, at this point, I will turn the meeting over to you, Mr. Shaw.
All right, well, good evening, everybody, and welcome. Tonight, we have four items we're going to go over and do in our work session. Now, the first one is our CTE building. A year ago, it began right about this time, and it was put on the ESSER list. And throughout the year, the ESSER funds, we redistributed those monies, but the project never went off scope or out of the thought of being done. And so, really trying to take time to look at what we do and how we do stuff, was looking at, okay, how do we fund that project? And so, I remember having a conversation with Tom Bell, and he said, you know, there's different times that people have asked him, what do we do with any of the monies that we receive? You know, and where does it go? Because because we just finished Trojan Bill 4, that we're in a point where we're making money on our bill. We're not losing any kind of money there. And so that resonated with me. And so Cassie and I sat down and started talking about, well, like, where are we at as a, in the positive side of the money from our Trojan bills, and we're at about $350,000 to the good. Like, okay. And so,
Can I stop you there?
Yeah.
That before we allocated for this year's, or is this after we allocated? Because we allocated it in something for this year.
Yeah, I'm going to get there in a second.
Yep. Okay.
But that would be before.
Yep. And so, we are 350. So when that last sale had 350,000 to the good, and so we started talking about, well, what would it begin to look like? And so we said that, well, the first thing we need to do is we need to take and put a reserve in there of $250,000 that would be basically a fund balance that would be used every year for the building of our Trojan build. And then after that, then we maybe start talking in the world of capital projects for CTE. So it'd be a way that the monies that are coming out of the Trojan build are used back into our CTE department, and really more on a capital project side, because all the other expenses are already addressed through the state of Michigan and through our CTE. And so tonight we're presenting to you is, and you see the drawings in your plans right there, a structure. And Tom, I'm going to let you get in here and talk a little bit about it, but a structure that would be located out there by I-Wing. I guess the best descriptor is be right located by the tennis courts, for those that know where the high school tennis courts are. And it wouldn't be just for construction trades, it's for all CTE programs, but it becomes an area where we can do some storage. So Tom, I'm gonna let you kind of get into the design of the building and how this building would function similar to how, like, we do stuff. Like, for example, Kohler Architecture is already a part of it, has to go to plan review, and all, it goes through those kinds of approval processes, the quoting of the work, all that kind of stuff. So basically how you do our Trojan build is how we look at this building. So yeah. Tom, you want to talk a little bit about how you've seen this building? And
So we've been working on this for a couple years now. You know, we have found that the reason we can't put up a pole building style our land is not listed as agricultural there. With having students on site, you know, part of the curriculum, and, you know, still learning how, you know, that we could make up the difference, because a conventional build is a little bit more expensive than a pole building. That's why you see farmers, obviously, they're putting up pole buildings instead of studded big garages. The exterior, though, would all be metal. Would be the same style building on the outside and the roof as something that would be there for 100 years. You know, you're not going to see anybody up there tearing shingles off in 20 years or anything like that. So the longevity of the building would be a really, really good long-standing longevity. We're keeping it simple with just an overhead door, one on each side, not going crazy with putting 8 of them up there. So that way, when the welding teacher needs something, he opens up his door and then the auto shop and so on and so forth. You know, just trying to keep things nice and simple. The inside of the building is not heated. We are not 100% sure until the plan goes to the state, but they're thinking with students working on the build or this building, there is some state rule where it has to be heated, a portion of it, or it has to be heated. So that's why you see there's a 10 by 10 office space. So we thought if the state does say, hey, you have to have a space heated because students, which is crazy because we don't keep the students, they're not going to be out there when it's 2 degrees, but it is what it is, but it's a state rule, it's a state rule. So we will use that space for the electrical mechanical side, where if he's storing or she's storing batteries or something that needs to be stored where it's in a controlled environment. You know, the rest of the barn might be 20, but inside that room is still, you know, staying between 50 and 60 degrees, you know. Other than that, you know, the inside of the structure, there's no drywall, no nothing. So when you stand inside of it, you'd be standing on top of concrete. You will see the structure in its full glory. You know, there's nothing covering anything up. There'll be lighting in there. You know, it, like Andy said, you know, it's not just for construction. Glenn Zorn, who's been with the district for 20 years, has gotten some really good customers that are always wanting to donate so much stuff. But obviously with welding, when you get stuff and you don't have anywhere to put it inside, the second any of that stuff starts to get rust on it and stuff, you're spending more time grinding the rust off before the kids are welding. And I will tell you this, anyone that works with kids, since COVID, it's even gotten a little bit just more tedious. The kids, they want stuff now, like right now. And if you have to spend an hour grinding rust off just to weld, it's like, no, forget it, I'm on to something else. And so Glenn's like, I can't take all of this stuff. I could get so much more stuff donated if I had a place to put it. Our auto shop teacher's got a drag truck that he's constantly putting here, there, it's over here, it's here. It needs to be in places where the kids have access to it, but then a lot of times it needs to be out so no one's touching it or anything like that. You know, there's times in the summertime, you know, last year I remember Leah was getting some deliveries for Annie Knabebush, and it was like, where the heck am I going to put this stuff? You know, because at this point, like,
huge pallet, it's receiving small, where are we going?
So we're putting it here, we're putting it in Brian's shop, some's going in mine. I mean, it's just stuff's everywhere, you know? So I know some people might look at, like, well, how is this barn going to make the students better? You know, this kind of seems silly. And I guess it's one way of looking at it, but it's actually very simple. It allows the instructors to be able to get the stuff out of our shops that should not be stored in our shops. Like for me, with the telehandler and all this other stuff that takes up a ton of room, that when it's not being used, why are we working around this? We have got the largest CT, you know, program in Monroe County, and we are constantly growing. We've got grants. We'll probably get it again this year, where we can spend over $100,000 on stuff, but we are literally to the point where it's like, where are we gonna put it? You know, I mean, it's great that we are, you know, we just finished a auction where we're purging stuff that is really outdated, not being used and all other stuff, but we had a lot of stuff that we don't use on a day-to-day basis that we just need another place for it, you know?
Well, there's a lot of things that happen in the course of the curriculum for the year. He doesn't use scaffolding every day, but when he needs it, he needs to have access to it, right? So you want to be able to get that out when you're using it, but it's big and bulky and in the way. And the more things the students have to work around, the less experience the students can have in those shops doing what they need to do with the hands-on piece instead of having to help move things around. So it would just be a huge benefit. This has been something that has been being talked about since Bill Ferraro was around as a CTE director, three directors ago. Steve talked about it. We started kind of getting some momentum with the idea, and then COVID happened, and then we picked it up about a year and a half ago and really started putting together. Tom worked with Kohler on the design, and Andy helped tremendously last year and pushing a good plan forward. Because at first we were looking at something that someone else would come and build on the property. And then we said, why would we do that? Let's make it a student experience. You know, this will be a different type of structure than the Trojan build. And it's something that Andy's first year students can work on. Instead of doing the shed projects that they do, this would probably take the place of that if it's the right timing in the year and they're advanced. If something like this happens, let's say it's going to take time for the plans to go to the state and come back. This might be something where the flat work starts in the spring. And this group of first-year students is talented enough by that point of the year that they can get all the structure put up for the school year with Andy. So Andy and Tom's classes would be working together, the advanced and the beginning students. The end of the year, those beginning students have a lot of skills. So just an exciting opportunity. We were able to take the original estimated price way down from where it was by making it a student build.
Way down. I remember that.
Yeah. So.
And so it's a large, huge storage area. Be a formed wall, so it's, you know, you got a footer wall. We talked about it being 2 foot high concrete, so that way then the wall is really sitting high. So if we're bumping into it with a pallet, you know, because they're gonna have lumber, so if the lumber is leaning, it's right against the concrete rather than the actual 2x6 wall. So it's a sound building right there.
It looks like that's only 4 foot high. That's not.
No, it would be. That's the change that we've, Tom and I talked about. It needs to be moved up there. So the process that Tom has done in the past is he's gone out, talked to his different providers of material. So that's, so he's done a lot of budgeting, just like the Trojan builds. Worked with Kohler on the plan. They get the site plan approved through the state. On this one, sent it to the state, then he would go into that operation. The financial side would look like this, is that there's $100,000 right now left available because the $250,000 has already been allocated for the Trojan build. So that's every year, $250,000 stays in that account.
I thought it was $300,000. Am I wrong in that?
$250,000 for the Trojan build.
Year. So if you take the $300,000 and some that Candace was talking about, less the $250,000 that we typically allocate at the max, for a new bill, and that gets you to the $100,000+.
But we're allocating $300,000 this year, $300,000+. I think we approved it just a couple weeks ago.
You approved it back in June.
The Trojan bill?
Are you talking the sale of number four or the build of number five?
The build of number
that was approved back in May or June.
Right. For $300,000.
Okay. So the, there, if we need to change the approach, we can. Okay, so the idea was that they're going to have excess monies in that account. So that as it continues to move forward, and right now it's at, if we stop doing Trojan bills, like right now today, we have $350,000 in that account. If next year at the end of the sale, it's only that account's going to grow. So the thoughts are, well, they need a storage building. They've got a way that they can pay for it themselves over time. And so what we can set it at $250,000, we set it at $300,000. What's that dollar amount need to stay in the account to pay for the next build? Okay. And then what happens is anything that's left over goes against the balance sheet. So like here, they're budgeting for about a $360,000 build. So then we would take take the excess money each year and apply it against this. And then so really borrowing the money against the district to pay for the build, but then the CTE Trojan bills would continually pay back this build. So it's at the end of the day, that project would be done. So then in four years.
On the bottom line, you can't, I mean, when Tom builds a building, he can't say, well, wait 2 years and I'll pay you another X. So where's the money coming from now, I guess?
So the district will pay the money.
So it's coming from a balance, fund balance.
So it'll come from our fund balance. Okay, it comes from the general fund. It would come, and so like for example, like on this one right here, There's about $350,000 that's been positive money. Okay, but so if it's right now, would be if his numbers stay at the $300,000 for the build of Trojan 5, well, there's $50,000 that goes towards this $360,000 build. If it's less, you know, that's the whole thing, is that we just set a number. Is it $250,000 or $300,000 that is allocated each year? Okay, that gets allocated out there. But the idea is that he now has an opportunity to say to people that are putting time and resources into the Trojan builds that their monies will be and their resources are going towards obviously that. But then at the end of the day, because right now the district is making money on the Trojan builds, and we're not, and what are we going to put it back into?
Well, I mean, but we're not losing, I guess.
Well, we're,
you definitely are making money.
We're
in a positive
well,
way.
Somebody,
that's why we're invested.
Salaries.
You would be paying those salaries for.
Well, no, that's not the question I ask you. It's paying the salary. I mean, if you're saying this is a profit making project, it's really not. And we've never anticipated it would be. Because, I mean, you know, there's
right.
cost for time, there's talk.
Well, there is, but the program would run whether we were doing it or not.
Well, I'm not saying this now.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm not saying it should be profit-making. I'm not saying that.
But in all of our,
but I mean,
but in all our programs, this is the only one that actually does generate
positive income.
So we got to look at it. So I'm looking at it through that lens of it does generate money because every other program, we've already said, okay, we're going to have a CTE program. We're paying these costs. We need to, so but the idea is how do we put something back into the district that's done through the CTE monies that are being raised or being generated through here. And so it may take them 5 years to pay this back, but it will not have cost the district anything for it because of the district, these are monies through the sales of the Trojan belt.
What happens if the economy turns south?
Can I answer that one? So, Andy, you kind of touched on that. I will actually fluctuate these builds and with the economy. Trojan 1, believe it or not, if Kathy Amy was here, our end of balance to build that house was only like $130,000. It was cheap. It was a great house, great layout. I've built that house probably 10 or 15 times down at Temperance.
$151,900.
Okay, I'm a little off, but still.
That's right.
Oh, so
right.
It sold for $239,900.
Good job, Cassie.
Okay.
I have my
so much different 150 compared to where we're at today.
Yep.
So absolutely, if things look like things tighten up a little bit, the only reason we've flexed our muscles a little bit is because the market got so crazy. It's like, but I know what people want, you know. Well, I don't, you know, I mean, typically I know what people want, you
yeah,
know, not 100%, but 90%.
But like
if my wife was here, she'd
right?
say 89%. Regardless, you know.
High number.
Well, so that will definitely fluctuate. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Trojan 3 was the masterpiece. Trojan 4 is great. You know, they're all my kids, you know. But at the same time, they will all fluctuate. There's a major difference. If we were to all walk in Trojan 1 and then I were to show you Trojan 3, for those of you that have seen the difference, there's a difference. Smart technology, all this other stuff, there's a major difference. So we could definitely pull the reins back in that neighborhood even, and people wouldn't even notice. People wouldn't even notice. Because the people would be buying a cheaper home. That's what people want now. The economy had reined back. It is what it is. All right. So we can, every year, we could scale things however we want, you know. And a lot of it is materials, what goes into the houses. So like I said, a lot of that can, it can fluctuate year to year.
I guess what I'm saying, Tom, is that if you remember back in the 80s, we had a program just like that. The last house we ended up, sure. Which is, I mean, you know, I'm not saying we should be making money. But I'm just saying, you know, we got to be realistic about it, too. At some point, we're going to be short in the house. I'm thinking. So, I mean, you know.
Theoretically.
Maybe you're going to have a knee operation or whatever.
I've already had one.
I know.
Already had.
I know, just kidding. But, I mean, you know, it's just, something's going to happen. So, I mean, at the end, we all got to realize that, you know, we're going to be short on a house. So
I agree. I mean, in the past, yes. I mean, but I will say this. I mean, Ann Arbor's on their 50th house.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of it is how you approach each year's build and keep it within the times and within what's going on with the economy and the neighborhood, you know, I think it would be safe.
And I think as long as you're here, I mean, I don't see a problem. I mean, fortunately, we all have unlimited lives, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah. No, I just like I said, I would be very, very shocked to see us lose money on a house, even if the economy was way down, because to get a brand new house, even at 200, someone out there, I mean, Tom Huner, who, I mean, like you're talking about, you don't know about, you know, your lifespan, passed away on the golf course. Right. I absolutely love Tom Huner, great builder.
He built my last house.
But Tom always had a spec Tom Huner. Tom always had a spec house, completely done, 100% ready. And his mentality was, you never know, there's someone out there that just got relocated from somewhere else, from another state, and they had a new house, they want another new house, and you say, I've got a new house ready to go. Always have one spec house completely. So you're always going to be able to get rid of a house. So I don't know how they lost money then. I really don't. But at the same time, you're comparing the 80s. Interest rates were nearly 20%, 16%. People are freaking out, going from 6 to 7%, and I mean, what's it, 16% in the 80s in Reagan economics. I mean, it just, we don't build the way that they did in the 80s even.
But I'm saying, I mean, that's eventually time, you've got to face it at some point, that's coming about if the interest rate increases or, you know, bad economy or, you know, whatever. I mean, that's going to happen. I think everybody understands that. And we enter your homes knowing that. And I mean, if we lose $300,000, we lose $300,000. No big deal to me. Because it's more important that the children have their education. Because, I mean, you're teaching skill there. So, I mean, but I mean, I don't think we can definitely say, you know, we're going to make $300,000 next year and $400,000 year after. We can't say that. So, I mean, that would be building our thoughts on the bad premise, I think. But I mean, I think, you know, on the other hand, if we don't make any money, I don't care. Because we're actually teaching. That's what we're here for.
Okay. I think we're on the same side. My parents always taught me, don't count your chickens before they hatched. And I think we're on the same page.
And what we've netted for four bills is more than enough to pay for this project. And what we're talking about now is preserving some of that to fund the future builds, which we... When Andy and I discussed it, we had set it at $250,000 because the Trojan 5, I just pulled up the budget that was approved at $248,473. So that's within that range with a little couple thousand dollar buffer. So that's why we had that discussion. So then we're always planning ahead to fund the next bill, but then also taking what's earned on those homes to put back into the CTE programs, I think is what the important piece was. Because as Tom is seeking donated materials and donated labor from the trades, it's they want to know where that savings is going. And up until now, we haven't really specified what we were going to do with those funds. And I think it's important with it being a CTE program that we're putting it back into something that those students and those programs can benefit from.
But I brought it up, and I thought there was a little bit of consensus on the conversation of looking at more affordable housing for the community that you can go in and build, and maybe you're not making $200,000, but you're building homes in the community that, what, 70, I don't know what the percentage of community can afford.
What we talked about was that there's two more builds after this one on that property.
Oh, I thought there was only this one.
No. So that those properties, that area right
there. My longevity will have run out by then.
So what we shared though, Darla, was that in 2 years, we actually have to start having conversations about where we go next. That's about a year and a half away from where we're going to actually go.
Yeah.
So that's when we started to have that conversation about 2 years from now.
I just hope we remember that we look at that conversation because it builds a skill. It helps the community, and maybe you're not making $200,000, but if you covered the cost of the skill and you made $20,000, you have $20,000 you want.
I will say this, though, there is already a program out there that's doing that.
Habitat.
And it's Habitat. And I'll be honest with you, they're, in my personal opinion, they're not thriving. They're not, you would think that they would be building house after house after house and can't keep up. But
why
they
are they not?
I'll be honest with you, you'd think that there'd be a big need for affordable housing, but there really isn't.
Right.
So people aren't buying homes, $150,000 no. homes. They want $350,000 homes.
No,
in
no,
a community not, where the average wage is what? What's that, Andy? 50, 60? Okay. The average wage in Monroe?
I can tell
it's
you.
Not that high. Not that high. Anyway.
Part of the problem is that.
My little dream, just throwing it out
there. Yeah, no, I just, there's already, like I said, Habitat's already kind of doing that. If they were, you know, bursting at the seams, it might be something where we could, you know, help out again with them. But it was to the point where they were doing their own thing, and it just was.
So I think that.
Well, we seek a community grant.
So I think that to help this conversation along is this. So next year's bill is already slated to be built, $250,000 allocated to it, which would leave about $100,000 of other money. Town goes through that build next year. It's a great build. We sell it. Maybe it's, you can put whatever number you want to, because it really doesn't matter for where the analogy is going. At that time, Tom says, okay, I'm done building houses. We're closing down this, the house building, the Trojan builds. At that point in time, the district is still, because that sale will have happened, even at $250,000 plus $100,000 of a gun, it still pays for this building. It still is monies that would have been used. So to
Andy, I mean, we can't first see the future. I mean, like Tom said, we don't know. A year from now, it could be $100,000.
No, I'm talking about next summer.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no guarantee that we're going to make $100,000 on a house. I mean, the economy could go the opposite way as well, like in 2008. Yeah.
That's what I said.
But I mean,
it was built for.
Well, yeah, but you can't just say, I want this, like in 2008. You could say, I'm going to sell it for this, because again, houses were selling for it like 20, 30, 40. You could get a house in Carrington for $100,000. But I mean, so you can't predict the future that way. You can.
Well, you're correct. There is no prediction. I'm just trying to lay out a plan and how to use these monies and to put them back into our CTE department in an area that we can't help. I mean, let's use our own general fund, because we're not putting bond monies there. We're not going to be putting sinking fund monies there. We're not. So this is a way, because we can't even use CTE monies in general that come from the state in this model. So for those that have toured out there, they do have it's a jammed in area. And so this was a way to resolve that. And you're right. At the end of the day, we know that right now that the district's on the hook for about $260,000. And, next year, hopefully that number goes down. But at the worst, the district's on the hook for $260,000 because the bill will, Tom has been very good. He doesn't go above budget on his bills. And so one of the things that we could ask out of Tom was every single year, budget no more than $250,000 on these builds. One, affordability. Two, that's what we've allocated in here, so that the remaining monies can go against the structure.
I wouldn't want to limit Tom on 250 if he feels. I mean, and maybe I'm contrary here, but I mean,
property.
if he feels that there's a good likelihood that kids can really benefit from a $400,000, I would not be opposed to that. Because again, yes, he's building houses, yes, he's selling houses, but more importantly, he's educating our students. I mean, there's a lot of people or a lot of students that came out of his class, which are really, really good craftsmen.
Oh, yeah.
They really are.
Well, it's the beautiful feeder system they have from Andy's class up through. I mean, it's not just that 1 year, it's that 2 years that they have there.
On a related subject, I mean, I know we were going to talk about where to put our monies as far as improvements, as far as Mr. Kohler was going to give us a list of things. I mean, now he went through all the buildings. Do we have that yet?
It's coming. It's close. It's just.
I mean, before I.
But that was the final work. And then
Well, no, I think he should have one also for.
General fund would be that, because at the end of the day, the scope of work is going to be so massive that single fund and bond won't touch it. Well, obviously this bond that we have won't. No, so we put Mark actually on, we should be receiving his preliminary list from him. But then we're also going to be working with Clark on the items that would be considered a bond item. And other ones that are, and then Mark will take care of the sinking fund. So you'll be having that report soon. We did all those walks back in June, and honestly, they have two people assigned to our projects in the school district, and they're busy. But to us, we pushed them for middle of September here. Actually, it's first of September, I think.
I think they're supposed to wrap up the list is done. They're just getting pricing. They're doing some follow-up with engineers to check certain areas, mechanical. And then we tentatively will hopefully meet end of September, first of October, to review that list, answer any questions, then they can finalize it so we can present it.
Okay.
We haven't stopped on that because we know we want to have it in front of you, because we know that it's, that's right, this project was taking out that lens because it was more of a, coming out of the CTE, Georgia bills, that we haven't brought forth any other big projects because we want to have that a more detailed list.
I mean, Mary pointed out the fact when we went through the building that there's not even a room for the orchestra, which is sad. I mean, you know, we have one of the two orchestras in county high school orchestras, and we don't have a room for them. I mean, we're going to have to see where we put a priority.
Want to get me started on that sometime?
Oh, no. Sorry.
We don't have a room for our orchestra.
Be pushing that little button.
No, we don't. They either share with band, share with choir, or they're on the stage.
And we've had an orchestra for how long, Mary? I mean, we've had...
Well, how long was Ann Felder with the school district? 24 years?
Yeah.
But that is part of the list that we will be getting.
Well, and what you're going to see is what was it done for the bond that was left for the high school? What wasn't done from the bond at the other buildings? And so that's what your list is going to have, is all from the sinking fund projects.
The old stuff, not the new stuff?
All of it.
All right.
So for example,
it should be both, right?
Yeah. So you'll be looking at, when we did the walks, we're looking at the, so for example, like the two music classrooms at the high school, we didn't do anything, that the bond money has never touched them. And so, okay, these two rooms still need to be addressed. To, the other buildings that haven't had their boilers updated to, so every building has been walked and will have it. You'll have things that are more of what's a sinking fund issue, what's a bond issue, and you'll have to figure out, okay, how do we attend to it? So just like the pool stuff, be the same way, all those projects right there. So, but what reason this is in front of you is, it is our desire to bring this forward as a recommendation to move this at our September board meeting. That's why I wanted a lot of conversation here around the idea of what the Trojan build monies would be used for. So now, Tom has talked about it, even actually show people like, hey, our Trojan builds, those monies that are being used, have built this building right here that's used for all CTE.
So there's no students in this building, right?
No, that this building will probably be about 60% Marchese's kids, so fundamentals, and 40% my advanced, even welding, auto, even those instructors have said, we're ready to put our belts on too. I mean, it was a, you know, whole effort. And like I said, with the Trojan builds, when these kids build a house, just like some of you have heard the stories several times, but you know, my best friends, my girls, they all know how many houses and where the houses that I built. Because when we go, Dad, I know you built that house. No, that other stuff. But these kids will do that.
Yeah.
You know, they will remember that. And they will say, I hated putting on that roof here. I'm not a roofer, but I love this. You know? And so just like this project, the kids that are in fundamentals, it'll give them the opportunity, or even a welding, you know, kid that doesn't like construction but can help out for a day or two in this, could say, I helped build this building that houses some of our metal now. You know, same with the auto and so on and so forth, you know?
I just didn't say anything about the, I think if kids are in there, we have to have
Did you mean, is it going to be for classroom use?
No, are they going in there? I think if they go in there.
No, they're not going in there.
Good, okay.
No, it's not meant for holding, it's literally a storage building.
Yes. So you can use the other space for.
Yes.
So it'd be like the one we had back here, right?
Yes.
Would it be as big as that, Tom, or not quite as big as that?
I mean, Dave, how big is it? Is it 38 by 100? Because the next day it'll be exactly like that. I don't know. It'll be very similar to that.
And, you know, I know it's your job to look at everything from a large scale perspective and take the list and figure out how to prioritize it. This is definitely a need. And if there wasn't the bill to fund it, I know this district has been very supportive of CTE programs. We highlight it. They're a shining, you know, light on the district. And even if those funds weren't there, we weren't blessed to have that, we would come up with a way. You know, do we go to, what's another alternative if that wasn't there? So support for the project, regardless of the funding strand, and I'm thankful to Andy and Cassie for coming up with the work that they did on that. I appreciate that very much. But I also appreciate the fact that I know that the support is in the room for things that are CTE related, and we really appreciate that.
So am I understanding the funding right? It's a borrowing from one, and then it'll be paid back through the other one? Okay, that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, so that comes from general fund, and it okay. pays for it, and then each year, Cassie will ledger, and that money will go from there. It's just a ledger, it's on it, so it's really just
transfer.
Maybe we should have a restricted fund set up for that, Cassie, or
something. I have it. It will show on our 22-23 financials as assigned. It's assigned the $250,000 for the Trojan home builds, and then the balance at the end of last year, which wouldn't have included the sale of Trojan, will also be assigned for CTE capital outlay.
Okay. Yep. But any other questions for Tom or Leah?
Yeah. Keep up the good work.
I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Like I said, the students really, I mean, they really do well.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I'd asked Leah a while ago, basically, really, how many students run through her program a year, and I believe her number was 800, you told me?
Yeah, last year we reported 800 students of our total number in high school that were enrolled in CTE programs.
We were able to get the Orchard students out here.
You know, we have in the past. It depends on the student. It depends on the transportation situation. A lot of it depends on the student's desire or the ability to be able to
handle
that responsibility. Correct.
So
thank you for the
It's
work.
Already opened up.
Can we help them? Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, do we furnish transportation for them and mm-hmm. you send a bus?
We did meet, and I think it was in board briefs a couple weeks ago. The challenge really is that not all, but most of the students who go to Orchard might be credit deficient. So these types of programs are, you know, help me out with the word.
A luxury. And
yeah,
luxury.
They would be a luxury.
They
and not.
But they're not a luxury. I mean, that's probably
in
more
the
essential
schedule,
for
in
those.
In the schedule. Okay, so meaning they don't have space because they're at a point where they have to crunch all their requireds in to get to that diploma. They don't have room around that in their day.
But I can so see where the hands-on in some instances can so outweigh a future skill than saying, I can, what do you call it?
Changing graduation requirements is a totally different conversation.
What?
I said changing graduation requirements is a different conversation.
You just got to mention it because we understand that.
That is a conversation in Lansing, not in this
room.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, that's oftentimes what limits them. What James Drew was specifically asking about was now they are identifying students even coming from the middle school who are now sometimes going straight to Orchard for that experience because they need a different setting, not as big as the high school. Those students would have room in their schedule. And if they can take a year or 2 years worth of classes, A lot of times they have time to mature and then they're ready for some of those other experiences. And those are the students that we're trying to make sure that we give them an opportunity if that opportunity is there.
And I think we made a good point. I mean, there's nothing that says we can have our students fight 5 years right in high school. So, I mean, we could
if they're,
explain that to
if they're enrolled in the early middle college.
Mm-hmm. What if we can we somehow
otherwise it counts against your graduation?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We'll have to work on that.
Okay.
We'll have to think of a way to come up with it. Okay. Because I mean, I think that's very valuable to the students.
Like 100%.
So thank you to the two of you for coming in tonight. We appreciate it greatly.
Thank you.
Next on our list is the middle school and the high school elevator. And so Dave and I are going to take a couple minutes here, really just to give you an update.
Thanks
on the two elevators. First is they're old. Second is that they're really old. And third is, as everything has aged, the ability to get parts has been becoming more and more difficult. And so that has been a challenge. We know that both elevators will need some major is getting work, okay, and potential of even being a reviewed as a potential complete changeout because of the age and ability to get parts for them. We're working on a situation in Monroe High School. The elevator has been off, isn't working, and Otis is at a place where they can't get parts for that old elevator. And so what we're trying to work out with Otis is getting the work done at a reasonable cost. It is emergency work to get this elevator back up and running, and you know, coming at it to about $36,000. Our hope is that
$36,000.
But our hope is that we can preserve time until we can bring back that full plan again of through the priorities of what has to get done. So that elevators are those in both those buildings, the elevators are a non-option to not have. And so we just wanted to let you know that. I know, Dave, you got anything else you'd like to add?
I would just say we're glad that this happened at this pace because the plan has always been to get to the bond work because it's old and we just work. I mean, those contractors lifting up, you know, those big heavy toolboxes for the plumbers, welders, it just wore it out. But we didn't want to put a new one in before the bond. The plan has always been, if we can afford it, to have the elevator go all the way to the penthouse because that's been an obstruction mm-hmm. to get up there for all the mechanical. It's not safe for the workers to climb up that. I don't know, in the boardwalks, we didn't do it, but that narrow, you've seen it there, that narrow side goes off.
Oh, yeah.
When we don't have a service elevator in the building that size.
Dave's alluding to, if you want to get up into the roof of the high school and actually up into one of the mechanical areas, it's literally straight up. And
they were talking about that when we were there. I'm like,
yeah.
I went up there.
If you're going to take your tools up there. So the plan has always been to maybe really expand the elevator, and but not to do it before the bond work because we anticipated problems.
Yeah. So we've been working with Otis on this stuff. So elevators are much like a pool where you need to have somebody that understands them to come in there. They're just that unique creature. So that's our next step is we'll have the elevator company come in here and really lay out what can be preserved, what can has to go. So Otis and then what was the other company?
Otis pretty much has to. We ran cables and they were like, stop right before you put it in. You know, I mean, they're pretty restrictive on that. But
they can do a change out of an elevator, right? Not very difficult. I remember I had
someone. It shouldn't be, but it depends on the structure analysis. Like, are you going to increase the weight capacity and is it structured?
Right.
Plus going back through the roof. That's what we got to look at. Maybe it's not cost effective to even do it.
Yeah.
But we wanted to at least look at that if that was. But right now with all of our cleaning, our tech work, we had to have the bond company Clark lift up our technology through the window before they, because we couldn't get our stuff up there.
And I know that last year, we one of our standing items on our weekly call, we have a standing call with our union president every Friday, just
yep.
as a check in to see. And it was every other week, where we have with the elevator, where
yep.
we have with the elevator, because it would, you know, 1 week it worked, another time it wouldn't. So it has been, at the high school, been being lived through. And so they've been trying to do what they can, but so I just, we really wanted to get you into the loop of the elevators are moving up the food chain quickly as far as a need. Fortunately, I don't hear much on the high, middle school. But to stay that way, the high school one has jumped right out there at us.
Is the
Are these strictly freight elevators? Are we talking for students?
As well? Students.
Mostly after school.
They're actually a dual purpose okay. elevator.
So
all purpose.
So right
all purpose.
Student with disabilities, how do they get up to the floors?
We bring the class down.
Okay.
And if there's a
Really?
Dual, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
We locate the class.
Hmm.
Can't get out there, and so we have to think about both our students and we may have staff that need use of the elevator. So it's twofold right there, and so we're right now waiting. Otis came out on Friday, did their survey work. They should be having the parts made now. I know Tim will go give me an update tomorrow on the status of them getting out and getting that elevator back up and running in high school. But like I said, we're hoping that the work that they're doing now can get us through a fair period of time until we can, if we pass that point, I mean, we'll have a plan for you guys, but how long can we go before we have to do the in-cap replacement of the elevator, or are there other options that we'll replace it to? So the next one, I was really hoping Josh was going to be here tonight, so you guys get a chance to meet. I was
the name.
Buddy.
That was a good
That's
one.
A little black.
It was on the internet. So,
you didn't choose Buddy, I'm assuming.
I picked Marco.
It was Aww. Voted on.
Marco wasn't on the list. I was like, really? What is it? Bear? Buddy? I'm like, oh.
My dog's name is Bear.
Shadow. I had a dog.
I'm like, have some fun. gang, adding it's not just gonna be at the middle school because wherever Josh goes, the dog has to go with him. This is huge for Monroe Public. I've heard the stories over many years of opportunities here for a therapy dog. You know, it may not be for all kids, but it could be for just that one child that's all they need is that see that dog or just to pat it for a moment and it chills them out and off they go. And it's, you know, the beautiful part is the partnership we have with the city, they've taken care of it. They're training. This will be for the foreseeable future, no cost to Monroe Public to help support this dog.
This dog is popular.
I believe it.
We were at the coalition meeting. And okay. This dog took topic of conversation there okay. because Chance there.
He is cute.
So that
he is so sweet and loving.
Way chilled out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it just looks at you and just rolls over.
Yeah. I've got a fat 12-year-old dog that just looks at you and rolls over.
Now, that's all it does, right?
That's all he does. He doesn't move it.
Do teachers have options of saying you have to put the dog away or whatever? Because, I mean, I don't know about everybody else's children, but my grandchildren, they see a dog, I mean, learning stops.
Yep. So that's because the dog stays with Josh and Josh's office at the middle school. And so it's when he's out and about and or if there's something going on right there, it's Josh will actually lay out with the middle school rules on how everything just kind of works for it there. But it's more that Josh could get a phone call from Ms. Cherry and say, hey, I've got this going on right here. Can you swing over to my office for a moment? And steps in there and just kind of get a calm environment with that child there. So it's just a great opportunity. You know, Chad was talking to Josh about this. He was talking to Josh back I think March or April, and Josh has two dogs at home already, so he added this third, and it's been a great situation. But I just want to put that on, and it's a beautiful opportunity for Monroe Public to have this opportunity there. So the beautiful one is, how many of you live in the Raisinville area and love the traffic in the afternoon?
I do pick up and drop off. So
last
I
gang,
exactly
I think it was probably September, late September, October, was the first communication from the sheriff going, Straw, we gotta do something with this out here. Because we have so many cars on the road here, it's blocked traffic, it's a problem. And so I was out there, you know, one afternoon, like, okay, I can see that. Then I get caught at Custer, I'm thinking, y'all are having problems at Reasonable, let's go to Custer for a minute.
Custer's worse.
But I know that the sheriff has taken a lot of phone calls out there from Reasonable, and we could, and so he and I, it was really comical one time. We were just talking about, because I was looking at the field too, and he goes, hey, I got an idea, and he sent me a picture basically of what you see right there. So I talked with Dave and Tim, got Scott out there, and I said, what do you think? We went out there, we walked, we looked at it, and goes, we already have a culvert there, already a driveway, so we have to put a new culvert in. And go, okay, well, put just a, you know, rock it, you know, gravel it and be done. And so we started putting conversations to it, and last Saturday of fair, sheriff calls me and he said, you know, so how are we coming? I go, you know, we just talked about it. We got a plan and how we want to move forward. But we have one area of concern that has been brought up. We talked with Kohler about this, and it has to do with the drain, the drain commission. I go, that's we're feeling stressed that that's going to be the stopgap, because it's, even though we're just going from grass to gravel, okay, we're not putting it in blacktop there, that we're going to have problems with the drain commission. So any assistance you can provide us with the drain commission would be appreciated. He goes, no problem, I'll make a phone call this afternoon. Makes phone call, email from the drain commissioner. He goes, I looked at this, and for what you guys are trying to do, all you need to do is fill out this waiver, and you'll be good to go.
You're really?
Seriously.
Wait.
Yay.
No. It was all, but he looked at it, and he goes, because he looked at the scope of it, he goes, you're not changing anything, and if we see that down the road that we're having anything happen, then we'll have a conversation there. But there's really, for the way it sits out there, nothing. And so we're proposing tonight is to have this drive-in. And what that will do is actually, if you do the math at the number of feet there, two cars wide all the way around, it's capable of handling about 80 to 90 cars.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Okay. And so Scott and I, we've talked about this, and Scott is a very type A personality person, very. And so he goes, he's already got to figure out when he'll to show parents on how to enter in there, mm-hmm. and then how to do the zipper method, get down to one car as they go through up onto the asphalt. He'll, and it actually works out pretty well for him, because you know how he has people staged in different areas out there? Mm-hmm. He'll have a person staged right there that says, okay, we have Darla Myers pulling up, and so she's pulling through there. Her grandkids, by the time she gets pulled around, her grandkids are already coming out of the building.
They do that already, yeah. But it would be more efficient to do it from that standpoint.
Yep, because it'd be about four cars earlier, right
yeah.
there. So it's
he's all about efficiency, yeah. Mr. Hopper.
I don't wait for the grandkids. No, they are there. They're like shutting the door. Go.
They're there. So the other part, just because you need to be aware, that football field, soccer field, Scott said, he goes, it doesn't get used. You know, don't.
When the marching band comes, we use it.
Well, we don't use.
Yeah.
And then.
You know what?
They can march around.
We have another 20 acres, see right there? That's ours too. So you can go into 20 acres.
Okay. We have everything to the back by the woods. So it will, if we need to redo something with a ball field out there, that's not a big deal. But what this will do is that'll get all the cars off the road.
And that would be a blessed thing.
Yep.
Well, it used to be, they used to park on both sides of the road, and the kids used to run across. We just did that about maybe, what, 5-6 years ago? Oh, were you in Larry?
No, it would have been longer than that. Oh, a lot longer.
It was terrible.
My kids went there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy that hasn't happened still.
Yeah, well, they changed it, so they had to go on one side of the road. So.
Right.
I will tell you that it will help with the mental health of community, because people would get so angry. You're like, I'd be on the phone with people and they're like, I'm in line at Raisinville. And they'd be like, I'll call you. I'll talk to you later.
Right.
It really got people worked up.
So that's the fix to Raisinville right there. And, you know, so that's going to be a beautiful one. The other one that we're analyzing right now, I didn't think much about it until I was talking to Melissa Bell. you know, is Custer.
Well, before we go up, when I looked at the bids, I mean, it looked like they were looking at two RFPs, two different RFPs. I mean, one guy says, hey, you better go ahead and make the radiuses there, because apparently that's not on the RFP.
Yeah. I just drew straight lines because of Google Maps is easier.
I know that too. But apparently for those guys, I mean, that's.
So what I can tell you is when Tim actually walked each one out there separately, plus even our, the third, we don't have that third quote here for you. But he took each person out there individually and actually just showed them what it was. So that, that size difference, they understand the scope of the work right there. You talk about the radius of that each turn, correct?
Yeah, that one's just, he wants to read.
Yeah, so they that first one.
Is Mr. Toma going to make radiuses there then, or?
Yes, he'll make it look, he'll make it so that every car can drive through there without getting on the grass. That's the key, because we know that a raisable yard over there, as according to Scott, it gets soft.
Yes, very much so.
Yep, so that will be addressed right there. But then, so that was a good result there. We are going to analyze really the Custer area. And what options we might have there. That one's gonna be a little more in depth. And the reason why it's tougher, but that one, we only deal with three or four buses at Raisinville. Okay, so we have the bus route that comes around. It's a whole lot different at Custer where we're gonna get 18 to 20 buses in.
Yeah.
So we have to think about, for example, do you use Custer 1 as the bus pickup and Custer 2 as a parent pickup? How do you navigate? So there's a lot of options we gotta talk about, but the key is keeping busing line and parent pickup line safe. There's a lot of crossing that happens. So that's, as we start to really analyze this, what can we do? We need to get cars off that road out there because
Do we own the property west of that house? Do you know, Tom?
What's that?
You know how that house is like next?
Yeah, Wilkins' old house.
Yeah, do we own on the west side of that? Could we put
You know, you're talking about that house up by railroad tracks?
Not right by
that. Right,
that property across from Fenmore is ours.
Oh, it is. The house.
The house is not ours.
The house with the, right. I'm almost certain we mow.
But do we, if, I thought there was like a strip of land that we had between that house and the railroad track.
Well, that's where the first downers.
Yeah, they play football.
So I would assume.
Well, first downers play back more, right?
No, they practice way up by the front. Road, yeah.
But that's what we're actually looking at there is what are all of our options out there? Do we expand, for example, do we own that? Can we actually put a drive that goes, would go in? And then how we have the parking lot right there for the soccer field, go right into that? That's a possibility.
It's almost right across, it's really across from Fenmore.
It is.
Yeah.
That would be, the interest would be, there's a ditch there.
Yep.
Yes. So the trouble is you're on an incline going up to the track.
Right.
So true. Yeah. Pretty big drop off there.
Yeah, it is.
That one's going to take a little bit more.
I've been eyeballing
to navigate. yeah, it is. But
since
that one,
I'm out there all the time.
You're out there. With
that one, we're just, we're going to analyze it. If we can make adjustments early.
Exactly.
For example, one of the looks I saw was like, well, why aren't we using the parking lot where we have for soccer? As a, just a big loop. But because right now we have two parent lines, one for Custer 1 and one for Custer 2, it still doesn't resolve the problem. Because one of the things is, been dealt with Custer, when the buses get caught in that line, it just makes a mess.
You know, just something to keep in mind while you're looking at that is that the subdivision behind it was south, whatever, not. There's a
Sheffield Village.
Sheffield Village.
Okay. There's a road that comes right up to our property.
Sheffield's right behind.
Right by the playground there?
Back of it, yeah.
I think that's Southfield.
That's Southfield, but then Sheffield is your.
You're talking one.
Those people.
The Sheffield.
Yeah. Larry, we appreciate it. That's part of it.
No, you're right.
That's been some of the conversation too. Is do we do something behind the behind one of the buildings? To move parents, I mean, there's a couple. We're gonna figure out ways. We have to get one, the cars off the road, and then two, we want to hit our times. I mean, we're thrilled. Transportation's in a phenomenal spot right now. Patty is hiring, training, and if everything goes the plan that she's got laid out, we're not gonna have. It was probably we've had at Custer in the past where we don't get a bus pulling out until 4:30 in the afternoon. She has everything set to where they should be arriving at 3:45. That's only factor becomes is the parent line. And so that's what we're gotta keep working on right there. But that point of it is, cost you, we'll fix it. Everything's solvable right there. So raise what we figured out.
Right, and the parent line of Custer, if you really want to think about it, starts at 145. Parents get there so they can be first at 145, and they don't get out until 350 or 340 something.
Okay. It's also causing problems because staff are parking in the street, and you can't even see it.
I know,
that's
you
another
cannot.
Issue.
You
so it's going to solve a lot of problems right there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Totally need to be faster. So hopefully in the next few weeks, we're going to figure out some options there. Maybe we can get it into play for this fall, but not for the start of school year. I mean, that's not going to happen there. But we'll get that one figured out. The other thing that, one other item there is, I know it's going to be asked, our buildings. Construction projects are moving along. We've had to, the high school, upper A, move back in, looking good. This Thursday, lower A just moved back in. Talking with Willie out there from Clark, they'll have they'll be done and gone probably next Friday. They're doing the punch list, so high school is coming right along. We have made it so, because it's one thing to get upper A moved back in last Friday. What's falling right behind is tech and maintenance, okay, so cleaning. So we've had to keep people out of there. So when people are saying, okay, I can't get into the building, like at the high school, no, you can't get in there because we need to keep it safe. It's still a work zone. And, but we're happy to say that Custer is fully...
They're in. Teachers in, office, everybody.
So the electric.
Everybody's in except for
yep.
Manor and Raisinville.
Yep.
And part of high school.
Yep. And so Manor and Raisinville, those two buildings right there, those are... Again, those three projects at these elementaries were huge. When you think about, took out the boilers, new piping throughout the whole building, new unit ventilators, all that kind of stuff. So at those other, at Manor and at Raisinville, what will happen is we don't see teachers getting back into those buildings until possibly next Monday evening, okay? And it is.
Trust me, I know.
We
neighbors again.
Deep breath.
It is. But,
no, I've had worse.
But at the end of the day, what we were trying to help everyone understand is, for example, Raisinville, roughly about $3.5 million worth of work done in 17 weeks. I'm sorry, not even that. Sorry, we just hit 2 months, 8 weeks here, 2 weeks ago. So in less than 10 weeks, which if we think about it, you wouldn't, as a district, we would have never done like half of the project one summer because of cost. And so it was always going to be one of those things. Our, you know, you look back at it, the only problem we had this summer was we lost 1 week because last year, Labor Day being a week later last fall. So it moved our Kindler back 1 week. Okay. So all these projects could have been there. But when it's all said and done, those three elementaries, Raisinville, Waterloo, and Manor, will have balanced heat. Air conditioning will be up and running next spring for them. It won't be functional this fall, but next spring they'll have air conditioning. And so those buildings will be in a much, much better spot. What we're going to do is we're going to work with Scott and with Lisa at Manor with their teachers and supplying supports to them, not only the teachers, but also to support staff coming in, working with them on their classrooms. So they're not gonna have to go at it alone. So they're gonna be supported. And we're gonna have to financially support them too. And I'm gonna give you the reason why, and you need to know this, is a typical teacher, I remember back in the 90s when I was a teacher, I could get into my building a couple weeks before school started. And that was volunteer time, and I knew it. Because I could go in whenever I wanted, because I had a key. All you had to do, well, we didn't have security then to have to put a coat in, okay? But, you know,
the doors were always propped open.
They were basically that way. But you could go in whenever you wanted. And yeah. So that was volunteer time. And teachers, we knew that, okay? In these two buildings, it's quite the opposite. We're looking at, on Monday's the best case. Well, Tuesday, we have our opening day. It's professional golf the whole day. Wednesday's PD the whole day. In an open house, okay? And so what we're getting, what they're down to now is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So they have those 5 days. So what's going to happen is we're going to compensate the teachers for 1 day of an inconvenience there. At the tune of about $150, $200 for that day, because in the typical world would have been, they would come in and volunteer on their own time when it fits in their world, okay? Here, we've taken their world and saying, you're going to have to get this done sometime in this window. And for many, for some, they're going to be like, I had a vacation planned, or I got this. And so they're going to have to shove it in there. And so to address that, that's how we're going to handle that. We have parapros, though, that are going to be able to, like for your neighbors, you may have a support staff person, works with Scott, boom. They go in there together, knock it out, they're done.
And that'll start Tuesday?
Is potentially Tuesday night they could.
Or Monday.
Our goal is to be done by Monday. That's our goal. Yeah. But part of it's contingent on Monroe Plumbing getting done with certain things so custodial can get in maintenance and our tech stuff mostly done, but we kind of got to get stuff out of the way. The gym's still got a lot of stuff in it, so.
Yeah, because I think Scott was talking about doing the open house outside.
Yep. So what we've talked to him to, we're going to share with Scott and Lisa in the morning will be is open house outside, or the halls will be all clear. Halls will be all polished. Have the teachers outside table, outside the door, so that way the kids know where to go. For some teachers, you're going to be like, hey, come in my room. It's not put together the way I want, but we get to highlight the cool stuff that, guess what? All this work got done in our building right here. It's not convenient. It's not what we want. I mean, we wish that it could have been done, but, you know, these are, when we look at it, these are large scale projects, and less of the opportunity for that to happen for them. And May, when it's hitting 85, 90, and it's a cooker, that it'll look differently there. And so, but Scott and I tomorrow morning, I'll be talking, and he'll be communicating that.
Yeah, and I've met with Lisa and Scott, and they're both in good spirits, I think, very positive. Yeah. And I think we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
My neighbor explained, is that new air conditioning units? They do take up a lot more room, and whether they have bookshelves or bookcases, a lot of these teachers don't know if they're going to be able to use the same furniture, or they're going to change the layout.
That's at Raisinville right now.
That's at Raisinville.
The unipans
are a little bigger with built-in shelving, so they will have some capacity for storage. But
they still have even up on top. So from wall to wall, I guess in front of the windows right there, it's all showing. And so maybe you have it. So they may have lost a few inches on each side right there, but it's all still in built in.
I think that's what you're referring to on either side.
Right. And but like everything, we, you know, if we find that they've got difficulties on stuff, we work through it. I know like last year, that was one of the things that was budgeted was extra shelving.
Yeah, Custer was purchased, I think, 30. I think every teacher got a new bookshelf.
That's a topic on my list. So I'm thinking it fits in here very well, and I can knock it off my list. Every year, I know teachers, you all know teachers, you're all teachers. We got to get our classroom set up. And so we donate to the teachers. I'll buy your notebooks, I'll buy your pencils, I'll buy your carpet, I'll buy your tape or whatever. And so I was talking to some teachers this year, and is there something that they get help, because there's teachers that don't have the money to put into their classroom, and I can't help everybody. And so I've not been in this seat before, so is there something?
I thought they got an amount of something.
Yeah. Each building principal has a building budget that they allocate as they see fit between the number of teachers that they have. So each teacher has a certain amount. It varies by building based on the number of students. The district provides a dollar amount per student.
So they don't have to buy their own paper. They don't have to buy their own stuff.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Buy all that.
They certainly do.
They all tell me they have to.
Yes.
And I help buy stuff, so that's why I'm asking.
They get a small amount.
Yeah.
I'm sure, depending on what you do in each classroom, I'm positive it's likely not sufficient.
Yeah.
So why would we do that?
Yeah, we should give them what they need. I mean, I'm sorry, but.
This is a national issue. Average teacher spends close to $1,000 a year of their own money every single year.
And I pay 10% of that $1,000 for each person that I help, so add that up too, you know, because there's a lot of people that, I know a lot of people that help the teachers in their world.
Is there some way we could increase that allocation, Cassie, or?
If we had more funding.
We do.
Gotta be somewhere.
It's called fund balance.
I just hate to see teachers being required to take stuff out of their pocket and away from their families in order to provide for a job that.
They're not required. I mean, they see things during the day that they need. I'm gonna give you an example. My wife years ago, there was a student who just, I mean, they reeked. They didn't have clothes. She brought the, went out, bought the kid clothes, had the student change at home because they knew that what would happen to the clothes. And then I had to stop my wife from putting their clothes with my clothes because it smelled. But that's what teachers do.
I was thinking of supplies.
Supplies.
Well,
supplies.
Something that I can speak to, something that often comes up is when you attend a professional conference and you learn about all these new strategies that you want to implement in your classroom, new best practices, new ways to keep students engaged, and you want to incorporate them as soon as you get back. But you've already spent your allocation that was given to you at the beginning of the year. That's often when teachers have to spend a lot of their money. That, and if you need, like what Scott was describing, providing those things that help students feel like a complete human, you can't make a shopping list for that at the beginning of the year. That's something that as a teacher, you step up and you do.
Mm-hmm.
As you see fit, when you see the need. So I feel like, yes, the school district provides some money for you to get like the paper and the pencils and sometimes notebooks that you need and folders and things like that. But when it comes to meeting in real time, that's where, in my opinion, that's where I spent the most of my out-of-pocket money. Was noticing this is going on with this particular family, or this is a trend that I'm seeing is happening in my classroom, or like I said, when you go to a professional conference, you're like, dang, I want to do that.
But for basic supplies, you cover that. Okay.
So I think the other part is this past spring, Cassie and I went to each building. And we started really reinforcing to our administrators, what are your needs? And really started walking through that very conversation of planning ahead. We saw this past year a lot of knee-jerk reaction. Like, we can't have this. I need you guys to be thinking ahead. And so that's a continual conversation. I've got right down my notes right here is on that area. Where do you want to put your monies? What else? Do you have something else? Do you have, because we can adjust into a building if we need to there. It really comes back to that, talking about that building administrator, where are you going to spend and how are you going to spend it? Okay, so that was a conversation we've had with our administrators right there. But I got down my notes, I just asked, how much are they allocating to the district?
And there is another thing that I learned today, that a closet of some cheap t-shirts would be beneficial for the students that aren't dressed appropriately and they need a little more coverage because t-shirts are cheaper than hoodies. And I guess hoodies was past practice. And a stack of t-shirts could be very beneficial in those avenues for some stuff.
Is there a particular building that you're speaking
of? I was at the high school today.
The high school has a clothing closet.
Yes, but the closet.
Monroe Middle does too.
But they said the closet is not for you didn't dress right today and you're.
Oh, it's not. Mine was.
It's dress code violation.
It could be.
Anyway, I'm passing it along because it sounded like a valid thing. And
well, the other thing is socks. Kids don't have socks. My husband, he was instructed every time we went to buy a pack of socks.
Anyway,
every sock.
That's not the fact.
It sounded valid.
Yeah, you got to have socks, though.
So, had an interesting hour being
to tell the kids that. No, I'll bet it was for you. So that's all we have for tonight for our work session. I appreciate it greatly.
Can we have a Adjourned. Somebody give me a motion.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Okay, so this concludes the work session for the Monroe Public Schools. The time is 7 o'clock. We'll see you in the boardroom.